From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, September 14th, 2020. The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting 40 new cases of COVID-19 today. The number of deaths remains unchanged at 136. Portland's Preble Street Social Service Agency wants to convert its longtime daytime drop-in center in the city's Bayside neighborhood into a 24-hour wellness shelter with 40 beds. Preble Street Executive Director Mark Swan says early in the pandemic, hundreds of people were using the center during the day. In an effort to ease overcrowding, the center closed its doors in May and dispersed food services to other parts of the city. But Swan says more than 100 people are now sleeping outdoors in the Portland area.
Winter's coming soon, and the expo shelter that the city runs, that has an end date that's looming, and the pandemic isn't going away. And we can get into this building because we own it and get the renovation started quickly.
Swan says within 6 weeks of approval by local planners, contractors can create a single well-ventilated dorm that meets social distancing requirements. But the proposal would add to the neighborhood's concentration of homeless services, and opposition's expected from some in the neighborhood as well as from members of the city council. And the state's Permanent Commission on the Status of Racial, Indigenous, and Maine Tribal Populations has identified more than 24 bills before the legislature that would address racial issues in the state. Mal Leary has more.
The measures would broadly address racial disparities in the state by seeking elimination of the gaps in health and income and education between the races. Portland Representative Rachel Talbot Ross, a Democrat, chairs the commission and says now is the time to act.
Mainers are responding just as all Americans are at the public murders of both Breonna Taylor, George Floyd.
Talbot Ross says racial disparities are evident in Maine, with black Mainers 6 times more likely to be jailed and 20 times more likely to contract the COVID-19 virus. The panel wants the legislature to establish a process that looks at every piece of legislation through the lens of racial disparity. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
In weather tonight, winds calming down, cool overnight with lows in the 30s to the mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunny with afternoon clouds developing north, highs in the mid-50s to low 70s. This weekend, St. Joseph's College president Jim Lugos wrote a letter to the campus community saying that the school had detected 9 cases of COVID-19, most from a single residence hall, and would move to remote classes for the next 2 weeks. The liberal arts school based in Standish has approached policing student behavior during the pandemic with fewer restrictions than several other schools in the state. But campus officials say despite the outbreak, they feel the approach has worked so far. Robbie Feinberg has more.
St. Joseph's College spokesperson Oliver Griswold says the college has taken several steps to limit spread of the virus during the semester, including testing, masks, and social distancing. But its approach also contrasts with reopening plans at other Maine schools, which require testing students up to 2 or 3 times per week, prohibiting out-of-state travel, and threatening to come down hard on students who don't follow the protocols. Griswold says a lot of St. Joseph's strategy has been based around trust. The school doesn't restrict where students can travel, and it's yet to punish any students so far this fall.
So we have been able to take more of a conversational approach, talking to folks who might not be behaving the way that we've expected them to, but we have not had sort of widespread disciplinary action to date, and I don't think we are planning on that. This is a community that's built on compassion and respect. Those are core values of ours, and it feels like it's been working very well.
But on Saturday, the school announced that it had identified 9 students on campus who tested positive for COVID-19. Griswold wasn't able to comment on how the students may have come into contact with the virus, but added that the school quickly acted to test and quarantine them. Griswold says the campus will study in place for 2 weeks as it investigates the outbreaks. That means remote classes and commuter students staying at home, though outdoor activities and sports practices can continue. The school will also test all of its approximately 1,000 students on campus over the next 2 weeks. And Griswold says the school views its strategy as a success so far. While some colleges nationwide have opened, then closed only weeks later, that hasn't been the case at St. Joseph's.
We are going to continue to trust our students to do the right thing. They've upheld that trust in a large part over the last month. And we haven't had reports of huge parties and huge gatherings. I look outside my window and I see masks everywhere. So they've been doing a really good job pulling together and trying to stay on campus for the entire semester.
Yet for many colleges, the strategy for the fall has been more strict. Sunday was the first day that Bowdoin College in Brunswick allowed students to even leave campus at all. And they're still under several restrictions. Only about 40% are back on campus. Almost all classes are still being taught remotely. Even now, says Bowdoin treasurer Matt Orlando, students may only leave for essential needs and cannot leave Maine.
So the last thing we wanted was to bring to Brunswick, Maine, COVID from other parts of the country and spread it locally.
At other schools, students are asked to sign pledges committing to masking, social distancing, and even getting vaccinated for the flu in the fall. And some students have already faced consequences. In August, the University of Maine disciplined 8 students for violating campus protocols. Shortly after, the University of New England announced that it was reviewing the conduct of 17 students at a party with potentially severe consequences. President James Herbert says the school is trying to educate students about the rules, but they will reprimand them if needed.
It's really a shared responsibility. The students have a responsibility for doing the right thing, but we at the university have a responsibility for providing opportunities for them together, you know, creative opportunities for them to come together safely.
At Waterville's Thomas College, President Lori LeChance says a substantial piece of her school's safety plan is around creating those kinds of safe events. Things like drive-in movies, outdoor open mic nights, and a disc golf course to help dissuade students from gathering unsafely.
And that's been something that's been in my heart as the fall was approaching. Like, we have to do something very, very different. And it has to be fun. It has to be engaging. And it has to draw students out of kind of old patterns of behavior.
LeChance says the school hasn't reported any cases of COVID-19 on campus so far and hasn't had any disciplinary actions either. But even with limited transmission, LeChance and other college leaders say they're still nervous about what the rest of the semester could hold. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Usually the first sign of COVID-19 is a fever or a cough or a sore throat or shortness of breath. But at St. Joseph's College, the first sign of a recent outbreak of the disease appeared in the school's wastewater. As Patty White reports, surveillance wastewater testing tipped off school officials to all 9 cases before students developed symptoms.
It turns out that what goes down the toilet has useful information when it comes to COVID-19. That's because the virus can shed into an infected person's stool days before symptoms develop. And that lag time presents an opportunity, says Oliver Griswold. He's the chief marketing officer at St. Joseph's College.
We're using wastewater testing as an early warning system, basically. It is our first screen of whether we have COVID on campus.
And that early warning system apparently worked because wastewater testing was the first indicator that St. Joseph's had COVID-19 on campus. Going from a sewage sample to a single case is a process of elimination. It starts with campus-wide testing, which St. Joseph's conducts twice a week.
It gives us a very broad brush, up or down. Yes, you have it. No, you don't have it.
If the answer is yes, as it was recently, Griswold says, the college next tests at the building level.
So we tested all of the individual residence halls on campus, as well as some other buildings. And then once we got a hit on that test, then we start individually testing every single person in that residence hall.
And that's how the cases were detected. All 9 students were asymptomatic. Other schools have credited wastewater testing for halting large outbreaks, including the University of Arizona and Utah State University. It's a strategy that's also being deployed at the University of Maine.
I never would have thought before this that that's what I would be doing, but that's it turns out to be a really powerful tool.
Rob Wheeler is an associate professor of microbiology at the University of Maine in Orono and a member of the university's COVID-19 Scientific Advisory Board. He says the university just started wastewater sampling on the three campuses where the sewage stream doesn't drain directly into the municipal system, the University of Maine in Fort Kent, Orono, and Southern Maine. Wheeler says it bolsters the university's testing strategy by capturing the whole population.
Testing the whole population every week is something that is really logistically and financially quite demanding, and we're not able to do that at this time. So this provides kind of an adjunct to that.
The cities of Portland and Augusta are also performing wastewater testing to determine whether it's an effective tool to detect cases of COVID-19 in municipalities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Nora Flaherty.